Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? A guy who doesn't know what to quote in WWE. I say doesn't know what to quote because CM Punk spent a lot of time in this promo building up to a line about AEW that no one in the audience reacted to, which is very interesting because a lot of people on Twitter reacted to it real big, but not the audience. And isn't that the point? Hello. I am Tempest, your host of the WrestleTalk podcast review of Friday Night SmackDown, December 8th, 2023.
Yeah!
That Sat
E. Nyangi!
My lovely and wonderful co-host on this Sat E. Day. Sat, what's causing all this?
Before we start, let's charge up for one last December time! So we charge. What's causing all this? Well, CM Punk did the promo that everyone wanted him to do on Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
But the issue was, as we're talking about it, it was to the wrong audience. Some people are claiming he should have done that promo on Monday, would have had a bigger pop for the line that he dropped. But, you know, Friday was tribute to the troops, SmackDown. You had a kind of different audience who are not quote-unquote bunch of internet nerds. They are fighting to save their lives and their country or whatever. That's the excuse of the line I've heard. But yeah, what's causing all of that is CM Punk has beaten the allegation that he's neutered in WWE.
Indeed. So this is the titular thing. So we'll talk about it first. Let's but we're going to talk about this whole CM Punk promo because with this one line accepted, I thought it was a bloody phenomenal promo, and I'm very excited to break it all down. So make sure, of course, that you let us know what you thought of CM Punk's real promo here on SmackDown. SmackDown gets the better promo. He's coming to SmackDown, confirmed.
Lol.
We'll see. Let us know what you thought of it in the comments down below, and make sure you give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the WrestleTalk podcast channel if you haven't already. We are going to get into things here because CM Punk came out. And it'd been hyped up. CM Punk makes his long-awaited return to SmackDown on this week's show, and he's going to cut a promo, talk about whatever he wants to talk about. He starts by talking about what brand he's going to land on, whether it's going to be Raw, whether it's going to be SmackDown. He played with the crowd and got them to chant whether they thought he should go to Raw, boo, or SmackDown. Yay! And we go on, and he ends up talking about loads of different people, and we'll break all those down in just a second. But one of the people that he got to was Kevin Owens, who he also had a little bit of play with on this show. He says about Kevin Owens that he's a little prickly. He doesn't know if he can feel safe being backstage with a guy who will randomly punch someone in the face backstage. Crickets. I mean, where's the lie? It was a real... Oh, he was waiting for a reaction, didn't quite get one. So, I think you bring up a very good point in that maybe on a different WWE show, perhaps one immediately following the return of CM Punk on Raw, his first big address that might get a swell of people coming up to the ticket window to get a ticket to the show. I don't know if they still have ticket windows or if everything's online these days. Scan your QR code here. I don't know if that sort of crowd would have had a significantly better reaction to this line, or if it is simply a case of, well, this is the Tribute to the Troops show. And I was getting the sense that a lot of the people in the audience here were like, I don't want to say lapsed fans, but like, you know, they were popping big for the people they probably recognized from like a decade ago or more. People like Cody, people like Punk, you know, the mentions of John Cena, this and that. Randy Orton, of course, comes out big pop. Of course, these are also the biggest stars on the show, but there was very clearly a big drop off from that to the other people on the show. So I don't know if that is just their taste or if this is a better example of maybe the WWE TV audience just doesn't care about this sort of thing. And they want to hear you talk about the beef that you have with the people in this company, as opposed to making references to another company. What do you think?
I think the audience are big, vast, and wide. You just happen to drop off at a stop where you have, like you said, casual observers, lapsed fans, people with free tickets. That's what I'm assuming. Tribute to the Troops, right? Most of them got free tickets. They have to pay for it. It's like, scan your QR code, show us your ID that you're a soldier, come and watch our show. So those are the people watching the show. They don't care. Like, what's the AEW? You know, Cody, you know what I'm saying? Like, most of these people probably don't know what AEW is. I do legit think it was just a great promo in the wrong city or wrong location. Because the promo that he did on SmackDown, it's obvious that CM Punk, him or his team or his representatives, they went on Twitter or X, or whatever you want to call it. They went on you know, Instagram. I don't really read Instagram comments, but I'm going to say Twitter, and read the comments about how he was neutered and how he you know, he was too happy.
PG Punk.
You know, they're bringing up old promos. So he knew he had to beat the allegations. It's kind of like shed the stink from Monday and now he keep it moving. So he did the promo that people wanted him to cut on Monday. And he even said it in the middle of the promo. Hey, guys, you can keep on cheering. There's no time constraint. So he's hyper aware of the critique of Monday. But something interesting, because you briefly mentioned about how at the moment CM Punk is a free agent. Is he going to go to Raw? Is he going to go to SmackDown? When he was coming out, he did his entrance, high-fiving, you know, Navy officers and all that kind of stuff. He went to one kid who's holding a certain world title. And you see Punk hold his certain world title and look at the camera like, interesting, and walked away. That is the new world heavyweight title. The kid had a new world heavyweight title. And I felt like a lot of people probably missed it. That's Punk giving another hint. Like, this is what I'm here for. This is my key to WrestleMania main event, night one, you know. But yeah, I do think if it was done like in Chicago, New York, all the usual titular cities that, you know, have rabid wrestling fan base, they would have eaten it up. They would have cheered because it was a good line. That's the thing. Do not let the fact that people didn't respond to this line, poo-poo what he said. That was a great smart line using Kevin Owens, who punches people in the face. People even said that. It's like, people forgetting that Kevin Owens punched two wrestlers, you know, last week. They're lapsed fans. They don't watch the product because it was like almost like a double entendre, which was missed. I feel like it was a great promo, unfortunately wasted on a crowd that didn't particularly care. They just came to celebrate themselves. Woo, we're the troops. Woo, JBL. Woo, number one.
So it is interesting.
Yes, sir.
And I'm more so interested to see what sort of effect it has on CM Punk promos going forward, because I think there's something very obvious to play with when it comes to any potential CM Punk Cody Rhodes matches in the future, because obviously they have their shared history there. I'm curious as to whether now, because of the reaction that this got, they will look at that and go, oh, okay, we're not going to do that as much anymore. If this was an experiment that showed a certain kind of results, whether they will look at it as, this is a crowd that isn't going to respond the loudest to something like that. And just in general, whether that is something that the WWE fans want. And again, I agree, you shouldn't generalize people, because there are people who watch WWE that would love to see him go shooty shooty booty booty on AEW and go like, oh, this is real wrestling Attitude Era, Sean Waltman coming out on Raw and telling Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan to kiss his ass and stuff. I'm sure there are people that would be very interested. I'm not going to say that wouldn't make for interesting TV, but I'm curious as to how the reaction to this plays into the way Punk is presented at all going forward.
Three things. Number one, Triple H is not as fickle as Vince McMahon. He's not going to have a knee-jerk reaction. He'd be like, you know, it was a different town, you know, it happens, blah, blah. Number two, this ain't CM Punk's first time in WWE. The way people are treating him, like, how would WWE... The pipe bomb promo happened in WWE. Why are people forgetting that? It's almost like people say, oh, how did... What's not broke, don't fix it. They know what's him. It's kind of like when Cody came back to WWE, the war, you know, he's not going to say professional wrestlers, and he's going to say sports entertainer. But now we found out they're giving bullet points, but a Cody promo still sounds like a Cody promo, albeit less blood and less inside baseball, because he's now much more polite than he was in the AEW. I just think, yeah, the CM Punk we saw in SmackDown is the CM Punk we're going to get. Maybe it was an experiment. On Monday, he's a bit polite, and here on SmackDown, unfortunately, I do feel like had he done the pipe bomb promo today in that with that crowd, would have got the same reaction.
Sure.
We'd be like, what's a Colt Cabana? ROH, they didn't get brought up by AEW. You know, like, I feel like it's right place, right time, right promo, wrong place. Had he done it on Monday, people would have been lapping it up. People were lapping it up on social media. It is a good line. It's just that people are using the reaction as barometer. It's kind of like a stand-up comedian does a great punchline but doesn't get a reaction, and they call it a bomb. I don't think that was a bomb of a promo, because he laughed and then he kept it moving. Yeah, he went for a reaction, but it wasn't. I think people over-exaggerate how long it was. It was kind of like he did the line, then he kept it moving. He did the laugh. The laugh was kind of like, okay, all right. And he kept it moving. If I didn't go on Twitter, I would be like, oh, he did the line. You know, it was just kind of like, it was an ambient sound. It wasn't crickets, but just like you had people just chilling. So so for me, it wasn't that bad. And I think Monday Night Raw is going to be a continuation of what he'd done. I mean, if you read online, people were like, yeah, I'm excited. He had a mission statement in this promo. So let's not forget that. Yeah, yes. He did the line, but he had a mission statement, which you're going
to
tell us.
Absolutely. Because we had to talk about the AEW stuff first, because it's the spiciest bit to come out of this.
Even yesterday, you want spicy CM Punk? I'm like, oh, guys, CM Punk's always, that's why, I don't want to be annoyed, but it's like, that's always been part of his character. It's not like, this is a new thing I picked up in this other company. It's like, no, this is like the other company let him go even further than he did in WWE. But it originated in WWE. The chip on his shoulder was formed by being in WWE, but not from the moment he signed, from the moment that he had his tryout match, and allegedly Triple H and Shawn Michaels didn't think anything of him and they put him in developmental. You know, poor Heyman coming in and being the only one that wanted to push him, being ECW, allegedly meant to win December Dismember, Elimination Chamber, not winning, you know, all of that was formed in WWE. It's like people forgetting that the promo guy you love so much, when you were excited about him going off against MJF and AEWs because of the body of work he did in WWE. Remember, he went against The Rock and out-promoed him, you know, your arms are too short to box with God. Even within the confinement of WWE, he can still cut compelling promos. I am not worried.
I'm not worried either.
Yeah.
As shown immediately by this promo.
Exactly.
That I was, again, very much looking forward to talk about it. Yeah. I'm probably going to spend half the podcast talking about all the different things that he said in this promo.
Why not?
Because it was excellent.
Thank you.
Also, shout out to Punk and Ring of Honor. I want to say that as well. So, Punk comes out. And again, he starts with the Raw SmackDown thing, getting people to chant. Once we get past that, he starts to say, okay, I've heard what the people have said. I've heard everything that has come out of that promo on Raw. And maybe I was a little too nice. Maybe you all want me to turn it up to 11. Maybe you want the spicy CM Punk. So he basically is looking at everybody that tweeted that promo sucked and went, okay, I got you. Here you go. Which is good. He then says, who do you want me to talk about? As sort of like, he takes Cody Rhodes, what do you want to talk about? And twists it a little bit. And he starts by just saying, like, I could talk about Cody Rhodes. I could share some stories. But they're all going, no, talk about Roman Reigns. So he goes, okay, Well, I could talk about someone who isn't here, and by the sound of it, is never here. Roman Reigns. And he starts talking about all of the different Samoans that are running around WWE. You got Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso, and you got Jey Uso over on Raw. So he starts saying about how his Raw SmackDown decision could hinge on how many Samoans he wants to fight or hang out with in the case of Jey Uso. You brought up, he did flub a line, that Jimmy Uso's cousin, Solo Sikoa, would be there, as opposed to his brother. But it's all right. Yeah. I'm not going to blame the guy. He's not been around.
Yeah.
But we then continue onward, because I think Roman Reigns is probably the biggest match that you could get out of CM Punk, barring any sort of return of a Stone Cold Steve Austin or something like that at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a very big one to bring up and get people thinking about. But we continue, because he leads from the Usos, Solo Sikoa bloodline thing. And he takes that and starts talking about the main event of this episode of SmackDown, which is a very nice little thread to connect things with. And you would see that more as we go through this show, where he starts talking about, well, I'm going to need backup if I'm going to take on the bloodline. Who's going to back me up? People don't really like me. Am I going to be able to find backup in someone I have a lot of history with? That being Randy Orton. Would he team with me? I don't know. I'll tell you one person I think who would team with me, though. It is L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, very interesting, which we saw later. But he's bringing up all these names.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really fun promo to do something like this in. And this is the sort of thing, not just the spiciness of it, but I think this is what people were really looking at and looking for from that Raw promo, where the Raw promo, not only did it feel disingenuous to people that have been watching Punk for a long time or whatever, but it didn't feel like we really set anything up or had any direction coming out of it, which was, you know, supposed to be the thing that was going to hook all the people that would be watching Raw for the first time in a long time. Here, he set up potential program after potential program after potential team up after potential WrestleMania. The whole next year plus of CM Punk was mapped out in this promo, which is fan-friggin-tastic. Because we go from there into the Kevin Owens bit with the AEW line that we've already talked about. And then we ended with what will probably be his big, maybe WrestleMania program, but definitely his first real big program, that being with Seth Rollins. And he said that he isn't concerned with Seth Rollins as much, the guy that doesn't want him there the most. And it's not because of his whiny voice.
Lol.
It's not because of his song, which is the only thing he has going for him.
Lol.
It's because he's not even the man of his own household.
Heyo!
I bet Seth Rollins is cursing every single day that Becky Lynch came up with that promo.
Yeah, it's easy target. It's an easy nail.
I'm sure they're happy when the merch checks come in for the man shirts, but otherwise, it's like, man, he gets that thrown at him so much.
He's a man with the man.
Yeah. So Punk then ends all this by saying that on Monday, he's going to put pen to paper. He's going to decide whether it's going to be Raw, whether it's going to be SmackDown. He brought up having a conversation with Shawn Michaels, seemingly suggesting he could end up in NXT, which I don't see happening.
Have you met Ilya Dragunov? You don't want to face that guy.
No. There are a lot of good talent down in NXT at the moment. So he's going to do all that. And earlier in the promo, he made an allusion to being the guy that's going to throw 29 others over the top rope.
Ooh, baby.
To win the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Because he closes this by saying he's there to finish his story, nice. To finish what he started all those years ago, and that is main eventing WrestleMania.
What?
Drops the mic. Everyone goes, way! Hey. So that's the CM Punk promo. And we'll get into all the other segments he was in later in the show. But there's like, I like how you said he had a mission statement here.
Yeah.
CM Punk, the character, has a mission statement,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't presented particularly well the first time he cut the promo.
No.
This time, not only do you know what he has to do in the immediate future, that's deciding what he's going to go, you know, Raw or SmackDown. Not only do you know his long-term goal, that being main eventing WrestleMania,
yes,
and
sir.
By extension, winning the Royal Rumble in order to do so, but you have so many potential matchups and programs coming out of this promo. This was a masterful bit of pro wrestling television.
I agree. Initially, I was thinking, when it comes to like predictions for 2024 Royal Rumble, Gunther was the top of my list to win the Rumble.
Agreed.
I don't think so anymore, guys. I think he'll have a strong showing, final four. Heck, to surprise everyone, he might be the final person Punk eliminates. Mm. I'm thinking that might be the case. I'm thinking Cody has a strong showing, but I do think, even though it was criticized before, the whole a wrestler comes back, wins Rumble, goes to Mania. But when it comes to CM Punk, what's special about him potentially winning is it's his first time winning.
Yes.
So I'm not opposed to a person that's never won it before winning. Because, you know, when Edge won and, you know, Randy Orton's won recently, you know, there's been repeat winners and Lesnar's another case as well. That's always gets a groan from the fan base.
Triple H,
yeah.
There's a lot of repeat winners over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Batista.
Cena. Even Cena, it was 10 years ago, but it was the second one.
Yeah, well, you know, those are perfect examples. So when Cody won it last year, you know, it was predictable, but also sometimes being predictable is fine because, again, the WrestleMania match between Cody and Roman, I still haven't seen it. They've still done their introductions. I still haven't gone back to watch it. I might watch it one day when Cody wins. Might make it an easier pill to swallow, but I will never watch that match because it's too heartbreaking. Because what I wanted to say as well, which goes into what I wanted to say, had Cody won against Roman, finish his story, there's no reason why CM Punk or Roman Reigns couldn't fight this year.
Sure.
It shows you a lot of reasons why Cody should have won last year, but, you know, we've beaten that horse to death. We're now reaching a new calendar year and sad let it go. But CM Punk winning Rumble sounds great. I do think he's going to win the title from Seth Rollins. The reason why Seth Rollins withstand a lot of things was, in my mind, for Gunther to powerbomb his back and win the title, but they're not telling that story. I do think it'll be CM Punk winning the title and potentially losing the Bash in Berlin to Gunther for the title. That's where I see it. But we're running too far away. But yeah, CM Punk's got a mission statement. I think Raw needs... SmackDown's doing fine in a babyface side.
With Orton back, I would agree with you.
Yes. And potentially with Cody, potentially, you know, if he's not going to win Rumble, Elimination Chamber gets to choose whatever he wants to do, goes back to SmackDown. Because I do think if Cody's not the final two participants, I do think Solo or someone of the Bloodline is going to be responsible for him not winning. Mm. I do see it as in Roman's too scared to face Cody as opposed to Punk sort of situation where he doesn't want either of them. But Cody, especially because he made his intent known that the story for him to finish is against Roman, while Punk could potentially have Seth, so he's not that worried. I can see that being the story, but I'm flying ahead. But yeah, CM Punk's got a mission statement, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's on the horizon.
It is, again, a very intriguing time. This has been a very Royal Rumble altering development.
I'm excited now for
me
Royal
too
Rumble.
Yeah. Like I said in my edited review, like CM Punk going to go into the Royal Rumble, and then he has a backstage deal with Cody Rhodes later, and I'm like, is this your final two? Are they in the final three or four? How is this going to play out? Mm-hmm. And it's not often that not only am I like, ooh, who's going to win the Royal Rumble, but I'm like, how are they going to win the Royal Rumble? The last time I can really think about it was 2017, going into it, when you had the double feature of the world title matches being Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns and John Cena and AJ Styles. And no one knew who was going to win either of those two matches. And then because there were all these people, you were like, well, the Royal Rumble could be won by Chris Jericho or Sami Zayn or Samoa Joe or XYZ. So many different potential answers. And of course, they went with Randy Orton. But the point being, that was a really fun Royal Rumble because there were so many different options of different directions they could go with the title matches and with the Royal Rumble winner. And this feels like one of those Royal Rumbles now where I think CM Punk's probably going to win. I don't know that. Could still be Cody. Could still be Gunther for all we know. But you look at those guys, and then you start looking at, like, well, what kind of story are they going to want to tell with the final six, the final four? Who's going to go in at number one? Who's going to be the Iron Man? And who's going to be the final man to come in, kind of like the reverse of last year? There's so many different aspects of the Royal Rumble now. Because if I was booking right now, well, I say booking. I'm just fantasy booking this sort of thing. Like, ooh, would this be cool? And we're just spitballing, brainstorming ideas, right?
Why not? Why not? It's our show.
Maybe the final four, I don't know if he's going to be healthy at the time. Maybe the final four is Cody, Punk, Gunther, and Sheamus. Mm. And Sheamus eliminates Gunther from the Royal Rumble. And that's sort of like his reason to then go for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania.
You think that'd be him? Because it's between him and Chad, isn't it? Or Triple Threat with both of them, right?
So many different options that you could do. But again, this is where all this change comes from. Mm. I've been very much on the bandwagon of get the Intercontinental title off of Gunther around this 2-month window here so that he can win the Royal Rumble and face Seth for the title.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think it's as likely that that's going to happen.
No.
So if he's going to be Intercontinental champion, have him hold on to that title until WrestleMania and give the biggest possible moment to somebody at the end of that reign. I don't know whether that's Gable or if that's Sheamus.
Who do you want? Who do you want at the moment? Who do you want to finish their story?
It's so funny because it all depends on who's hot at the moment. Like a month or two ago, I would have been like, "Yeah, Gable's got to win this thing." But if you asked me around WrestleMania, I'd be like, "It's probably Sheamus that's going to do it." So if Sheamus comes back and it's like, "I am not walking away from this business without winning that title, and I'm going to take it at WrestleMania," I'd be like, "Yeah, Sheamus is going to win."
I think that's the big gripe for me, or the big reason for me, is because Sheamus' retirement is basically hanging on the fact that he needs to be Intercontinental champion. Mm. And I do feel like he needs to finish his story, but Gable's daughter crying as that loser, you know what I'm saying? And he said, the next time I do it, you know, I'm going to make a... It's quite hard because I'm with you. I do think it's Sheamus. It should be Sheamus. And I do feel like, yeah, he's nursing an injury. A part of me thinks he's saving for a Rumble Pop return to go after Gunther. And then after that, go for the title of Mania. There's a reason why, in a weird way, Brawling Brutes have imploded. Mm-hmm. So that way he's now free to now go after Gunther, which is on Raw. He can go straight to Raw, you know. You can do a trade-off. They still owe the trade-off because... I saw all the trade-off.
It was Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. So, yeah. But they can make up stuff. <You
know? laughs> There's no rules anymore.
I mean, Tempest is lying. What is a draft?
Yeah. What is a draft? Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio just show up on this show.
Yeah, but it's destined to be a great Royal Rumble. But also, what we've been talking about lately is there's a lot of hot baby faces destined to get great reactions. And LA Knight, I do hope that he has a spot against, you know, Logan Paul. For the Universal title. Because now that CM Punk's back, there's been a lot of reshuffling. Guys like Gunther and LA Knight, who were on the cusp, if there wasn't another hot baby face, you're like, okay, LA Knight could be slotted in that, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But now with CM Punk back, guys like LA Knight, who knows, maybe another year or two if he's still hot. But Gunther, he's definitely, there ain't that much heels over like the way Gunther is. So Gunther's definitely slotted to be the next top heel.
I completely agree. I think...
Drew McIntyre as well.
I mean, ultimately, we see what happens there with Drew and everything. But we're getting a little further away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Punk going into the Royal Rumble.
Yes, sir.
And the lead into WrestleMania and the fallout of WrestleMania appears to be in some way or another set up by this promo.
Yes.
Which makes this promo so much fun to talk about. As we've just done for the last 20 plus minutes. Let us know what you think of this CM Punk promo, whether he's going to win the Royal Rumble, who he should challenge at WrestleMania, XYZ, all the above.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let us know in the comments down below while we get into the rest of this here SmackDown show. And also, before we do, a few quick plugs. First of all, make sure you check out the new book available at WrestleShop.com, WWE AEW Fallout, the book that covers all of the cross-branded warfare to go on between WWE and AEW that is available now. You can pick up your copy today. It is a very good book. We do a real good job making our little books around here. It's real, real nice. I highly recommend it. And also, make sure you go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and make sure you check out the Patreon exclusive episode of Survival Series. It is every single WWE and AEW pay-per-view main event of 2023. And it was harder to remember than I think you would think it would be.
I better remember what was the main event last month.
Indeed.
Oh, goodness gracious
so,
me.
So, make sure you check that out. If you love Survival Series like I know you do, there's another episode of that over on Parts Funknown and an exclusive episode to Patreon available now as well. So go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk to check that out. Now, let's get into the rest of this here show. Because as we have said, this was the Tribute to the Troops episode of SmackDown. So there was a heaping pile of America to start this show and then throughout. This was sort of the main theme of the show. And like, it is what it is. I'm not going to, you know, denigrate that by any means. But it does sort of like come as a sacrifice to the rest of the show at times, you know, because not a lot of the wrestling on this show was particularly noteworthy. We got the very good CM Punk promo on this show, and that's really all people have been talking about coming out of this SmackDown. But there was a lot of military stuff here, video packages throughout the show. We opened with America the Beautiful. So we had that. And that led into the first match of the show, which was the beginning of the U.S. title tournament. I wonder how that came together. U.S.
Yeah.
America.
Yeah.
Tribute to the Troops. How convenient.
Yeah. That's, that is convenient. And JBL doing commentary. Very convenient.
Yeah, JBL doing commentary. They're stretching my patience when it comes to WWE commentary a lot.
Okay, you're going to hate me, but I don't mind JBL in small doses.
In small doses, sure, I suppose so. I'll just probably never forgive him for the like the Sting match at WrestleMania. Or
I know, but I do feel it's. We'll talk about this some other time. Yeah, let's go to your title.
In addition to a lot of other things, but we had this opening match, that being Santos Escobar versus Dragon Lee, which was a rematch of their Survivor Series encounter. So this was a
match,
and it's really tough because I would come on here week in and week out throughout the month of November, for example, and talk about how awesome these little Dragon Lee fun work rate matches with Axiom and Cedric Alexander, all those matches were. And I really enjoyed them, and I thought they were doing a really good job of getting Dragon Lee to the point where people would care about him.
Yes, sir.
Now he has lost two fairly big matches with Santos Escobar back-to-back, one of which at Survivor Series,
yeah,
and now this one on SmackDown. And this was a match in particular that really struggled because the people, I don't think, knew who either of these guys really were.
No, they didn't.
They were chanting for JBL during the match. And again, I don't know if it is just because of that, but the finishes of these two matches just feel like they come out of nowhere, you know? Where, again, Santos Escobar didn't, like, win a lot of matches over the last year being in the LWO. They took a lot of pins for mm-hmm. the Judgment Day and such. But he hits the Phantom Driver at Survivor Series and gets the pin, and everyone's like, oh, okay, moving on. And then in this show, this match, Dominic Mysterio's at ringside as well, and Dragon Lee is on the outside. He's on the apron, and he kind of goes up to the top rope. He does his kick over the top rope, climbs to the top rope, and Santos crotches him and then just like pulls him onto his back in a fireman's carry and hits the Phantom Driver again and gets the win. And again, it's just like people aren't like, whoa, he just made his finisher. Oh my God, this is going to be the finish. It's not like that. It's just he hits a move and gets the pin, and that's sort of the end of the deal. Yes. Dominic comes in and stands over Dragon Lee because they're going to wrestle at NXT Deadline, and I'm sure that's going to be a fantastic match. But I'm not super thrilled with Dragon Lee dropping two matches right when it looked like he was on the cusp of being taken seriously on this show. And that's not to say they can't rehabilitate him by just going back to that and doing it for longer, but it feels a little stop-start. And it particularly two rough showings from the Survivor Series match and this, where I don't think the matches were like bad, but they weren't in front of a crowd where they were going to get over either. So it's just a difficult combination.
I hear what you're saying, because when I see them wrestle, I keep thinking to myself, if they're given like 15 to 20 minutes, they can cook.
It'd tear the house down.
Yeah. It's just like every time we see them wrestle, we keep thinking to ourselves, there's more. It's the stuck in first gear. I think that's what you're annoying. Yeah. You're like, you're getting ready. Because when you watch a wrestling match with these two caliber athletes, you know for a fact, once they do the preliminary spots, the lucha spots, you know, the arm drags, the head scissors, and, you know, the dives. But there's a middle portion of the match when they kick up to the next gear, when it gets faster paced, and then the match gets crazier and the crowd start getting on their feet. That's the moment you're waiting for, and it doesn't quite get to that. And then, I still feel like they're saving it. Maybe third time's the charm, but I do feel like it's a WWE math situation where it's like, we're going to make Dragon Lee lose twice, but watch on Sunday and potentially him become North American champion. We'll wipe away the memory of him being a loser, and he's going to parade a title on Raw or SmackDown, and you'll be like, oh, look, he beat Dominic Mysterio. Who did he lose to in the tournament? In their mind, they're thinking that.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. You're hoping that the old Vince way of like, we introduce a wrestler for a bit, he has a bit of a winning streak, and then he starts to lose. Cameron Graham's out.
Right. And that's sort of the thing here, where I don't think Dragon Lee is going to end up like Cameron Grimes.
No.
Because I think he's maybe a little bit more marketable. You know, he's got a cool mask, and he's colorful, and he does flips, and he's a very good wrestler. Not that Cameron Grimes isn't, but you know what I mean.
Mm.
But it's just a little bit tricky with this one in it. Like, these two guys, in like an 18-minute match, given plenty of time, tear the house down.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't two guys that I am particularly interested in seeing right now having like an 8-minute match with the middle chunk cut out for a commercial on SmackDown in front of a cold crowd, you know? And that's probably true about pretty much everybody on the roster.
Yeah.
But I think it is particularly hurting these two guys, especially after a good little winning streak from Dragon Lee and a really good heel turn from Santos Escobar. Both of them feel very cooled off over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. I know. We're hoping that with a potential return of Carlito and Rey Mysterio, the feud will get heated up again.
Yeah.
I think Santos is now like, I don't know, because Dragon Lee's still new. This crowd didn't help the situation, but I do feel like next week when we go back to our usual crowds, it's going to be much better than what we've been getting the last couple of weeks. But I understand why you know, your your concerns.
Yeah. Well, we cross our fingers and hope for a good crowd. Backstage, we had Randy Orton approaching Nick Aldis, and he has his reservations about teaming with LA Knight. He said he didn't even know who LA Knight was until like a week ago, which I always think is funny. It's just like, this guy was like the biggest star on the show, like during the late summer into early fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then another guy comes back and he's just like, oh, I don't know who this guy is. It's like, I get that Randy Orton was busy and he was elsewhere, but it always felt to me like, you know, whenever The Rock would come back and be like, who is Dolph Ziggler? Who is this Booker T fellow?
It's big leaguing, you
think? Yeah, it does just kind of feel like, well, Randy Orton's here and LA Knight's here. And that may be the case in the mind of a lot of people, but the idea should be that WWE wants to, you know, bridge that gap slightly. But regardless, he says that he doesn't know about teaming with this guy. He doesn't know he can trust him. And he's there to give a check to cover his fine of $50,000 from last week. And Nick Aldis and him are having this conversation. Then Nick Aldis looks down and he says, this check is for $100,000. And Randy Orton just goes, ah, that's for next time.
Lol.
I thought that was a really cute, cheeky way to get around the check thing. Because, like, I find anytime somebody gets fined in wrestling, I'm always just like, nah. Fake money.
Yeah.
Like, it's either so small where I'm like, ah, it doesn't matter. Or it's, like, comically large fine. Like, I remember when they fined Sheamus $500,000 for brogue kicking a referee or something. And I was just like, yeah, okay. Sure, whatever you say. But I thought this was just like, it's Randy Orton just being being funny and, you know, I thought this was a good little deal.
So far, how do you feel they've been booking him? Because if you remember, Randy Orton was the only wrestler that Triple H had yet to book. So far, how do you think they're handling him?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say because this window of time just seems to be like the, we'll get through December and then start ramping things up a little bit. I mean, the first few weeks, I think it's been fine. You know, I'm happy to see Randy Orton back on SmackDown in a main event role, all these sort of things. But like, yeah, it's been perfectly adequate, I think. I'm not super blown away by it. I'm not like, ooh, they're doing something new with him. I am happy to just see like family man Randy home, you know, back doing his wrestling thing after being gone for a year and a half. Like, that to me, for the month of December going into the holidays, into Royal Rumble season, that is like enough for me.
But he's one of those rare people where you can see where everyone's WrestleMania journey is except for Randy Orton.
I've always felt that. He always kind of feels like he's too big a star to not be booked into a major match. But it's always like, well, what's he going to do then?
Well, I was thinking he probably might still be... If Cena's available, then it's Cena and Solo. If Cena's busy with his movie career, then I see it being Randy Orton and Solo. But I feel like it's a variation of like Randy. It's weird things. Like LA Knight's wrestling Logan Paul, but for some weird reason, it doesn't happen. I see him being in like a makeshift six-man tag with Jay.
Yeah.
Even though it should be Jay versus Jimmy, but they'll realize Jay and Jimmy's not hot enough feud unless they ramp up the bitterness between them. It could be a throwaway tag match where Solo and Jimmy and whoever against Jay and Randy and LA Knight or something like that. Like, that's why I'm kind of not worried, but I feel like that's where he might get slotted into, like a random makeshift tag team to fight the Bloodline members that are not doing much.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting because I totally agree. Randy Orton so often feels like the kind of the odd man out because they don't tend to put him in the main event picture of WrestleMania that much anymore. You know, they did in 2017, for example, but otherwise it's like, oh, he's in a four-way for the US title.
AJ could be his tag team partner. It could be him and AJ versus, you know,
yeah,
like I feel like, because even AJ, because you got guys like AJ Styles, who there's been a debate lately what's going on with AJ Styles, and I'm gonna be honest, Paul Levesque has been booking AJ Styles horribly since he took over, because people say Boneyard match isn't anything's Boneyard match. Night of Champions, okay? He got heated up for a bit, Night of Champions. He was in the final. It didn't make sense why he was in there because he's a SmackDown guy, whatever. But it showed that if they wanted to, they could book AJ to be, you know, this fighting underdog. But you could also argue that this face run has now reached its limit. They probably should be healed. Him and OC member should be healed to you know, inject some life into them. Because it comes to a point where you're like, all right, if AJ's not being used properly, put him back in TNA. Because there's been that debate lately. Are you one of those guys thinking that if they're not using him correctly, he should just go to TNA?
Well, no, because I'm sure he is making several times over the amount of money in WWE that he would be making in TNA.
Mm.
And, like, I have full respect for the career of AJ Styles. I think he might be in the period of time of his career where you're going to get 3.25 stars and like it. And that's going to be him going, this is me now, and it's going to be good, but not brilliant. He's not going to be on the crazy tear he was on in 2016, no, where he was the best wrestler in the world.
He was.
He's getting up there, and I don't particularly fault him if he wants to take a bit of a step back.
Well, not him. It's just like, even with the OC, you know, it was like, why did you guys come? We know why they came back. In kayfabe, we like to say in kayfabe, sure, reason, right? Not in real life, like, you know, money and be home with their family, which is the main reason why they took the money and they shut their mouths. But in kayfabe reason, it's kind of like they could be doing more. Even like Mia Yim, you know, Meechin, there's so much more you can do in that group. Again, that's a conversation for another time, moving on swiftly.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. How do we get onto this? We're talking about Randy Orton and what he was going to do at WrestleMania.
Well, I'm doing you a favor because your favorite guy is in the next match.
He sure is. So...
Well, Cody's thing is next, but yes.
Yeah, we had Cody come out next in the John Cena role, basically just thanking the troops. They did a tribute to the troops video package before Cody showed up. He then threw to another tribute to the troops video package and thanked the troops. And then he brought out the U.S. Army or Marines or something. I think it was the Army. Yeah. And they did the marching line, twirl the musket thing around. They did a John Cena's WrestleMania entrance at 26, I say, is the one thing that the military's ever done that one thing for. No, it was, you know, they did their routine. It was that. And that was Cody's appearance. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot to, you know, glean from it by any means.
It's just that he's obviously a top guy.
Like, but that, just, to yeah, me, was the big thing. He's in the John Cena role now, mm-hmm, and has been for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't new, but it is further confirmation where it's like he is the guy for
yes,
them.
Yeah.
He's the one that's going to go out there and be like, hey, SmackDown, yeah, yeah, we're here for tribute to the troops. Look at this video package.
Mm.
And that's cool. And they bring out a military man, and he does commentary for the next match.
Brad Nessler, that's the gentleman's name. He does football commentary for the Army Navy. So, yes, apparently he's like a legend in some circle. But he had a very nice voice, very old school. JBL mentioned like he's kind of like sound like Gene Okerlund-esque kind of classic voice. So I did enjoy listening to his voice during the next match.
Because the next match was Bobby Lashley, who got to have a pre-recorded little video deal where he talked about being in the Army, as well as Montez Ford, his, you know, partner in this little unnamed still trio.
Were people the Hurt Prophets? That's what the name is at the moment until we get an actual name.
Until we get a real name for these guys.
Yeah.
But they both got to do little, like, you know, cheers to the military promos. And then, this, of course, being another U.S. title contender tournament match, it was Bobby Lashley versus Karrion Kross.
TNA, Impact Wrestling, TNA.
Yeah, this was an Impact Wrestling match. Karrion Kross has let his hair grow out even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now it's getting to the point where it's like, it's not that bad of a look. It's the middle stage of people's hair growth in wrestling. Where like
the awkward stage, yeah.
You need to be off for several months if you're going to grow your hair all the way out.
Awkward stage.
You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot of those like awkward stage haircuts in wrestling that, you know, anytime you see. It's always like Jericho when he had like, it was like 2016.
You mean
halfway
when he
through
had
the year. Yeah. It was like 2016, 17 where he would always have his headband in because he was growing his hair out. He had it for like the first Kenny match at Wrestle Kingdom where he didn't have the long hair that he ended up having when AEW started.
Yeah.
But his hair wasn't short either.
I heard there was also a rumor that he was losing hair in front, so that's why he was doing the front.
Yeah, Naito gave him pile driver, and he has a big bald spot on his head now.
Because of that?
I don't know if it was because of that, but I don't think that patch has ever grown back in.
Oh.
Yeah. But anyway, regardless, Karrion Kross is now out of that stage, and he is into his long hair era, and they had a match.
It was, okay, on paper, I wrote down a potential horse fight, and it looked for makings of it, but again, like all TV matches, we mourn what could have been, because it was stuck in first gear. That's what we can say. It was mostly Lashley was dominating the match. It's like Karrion Kross would try, but Lashley would get the better of him. That's like the formula of the match. That's what tends to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically all it was. And military man, Brad Nessler.
Nessler.
He made a crack on here. I don't even know if it was a crack. It was just an observation, which is like, oh yeah, Karrion Kross. I haven't seen him since like August. Didn't AJ beat him? It's just like, my God.
Art Donovan level. Well, actually, he's better than Art Donovan. He at least knows who these people are. Yeah. I don't know how much this guy weighs. He knows the product.
Knows the product enough to know that Karrion Kross is a goober. Like, come on now. I feel bad for him a little bit. Like, bro, I'm sure he's getting paid nicely, but like, what did you come back for?
Okay. What I'm going to say is Triple H has a knack for doing this. Wait till next year. Because we've been doing this podcast for a while together. We're like past over a year and anniversary House of the Black Mask. Thank you for supporting us. 2024 is the judgment day. I'm willing to admit, I'll be willing to concede on Karrion Kross. If 2024 is not his year, if 2024, the year of Karrion Kross, woo, long hair, brooding promos, woo. If he's not consistently on TV next year, like if Triple H doesn't have big plans for him post WrestleMania, and we get to here, December 2024, I will take off my hat. I'll be like, yeah, it's officially a bust. I'm still thinking that, kind of like, look at Bayley, for example, when we get to her. Certain wrestlers, they go through a phase of like constantly losing. They're not in the plans, not figured in because there's so many moving pieces. CM Punk is now back. It's WrestleMania season. So as a result, Karrion Kross is one of the casualties because there's only so much people that can get spots. He's going to be Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal winner if he's happy or not. We might not even win that either. But yes, after that season, hopefully, I'm with you. Because of his look, the entrance, the manager, it should work, but it's not. There's something missing. We thought that Scarlett Bordeaux was the missing piece. She's there, but the push is not there. It's like he's not NXT Karrion Kross. Is it because of long hair? Long hair, people can still kick butt. That's Drew McIntyre. But there's something missing, and I understand. For me, it's the inconsistencies. The fact that he's on TV 1 month and he's off. Then he's on and he's off, you know? I made a joke that Shinsuke Nakamura was playing the part of Karrion Kross spooky promos, you know, combat attacking, you know. He's doing better than... Nakamura's doing the better gimmick version of what he's meant to be doing. Yeah, I think it's the inconsistency. And the fact because he's gone for a long chunk of time and he's still not over to a degree, there's not like a fan base clamoring for him. So when he comes back, you're like, oh, well, you know, what do you expect? Yeah. If Lashley lost, you would have been mad. You'd be like, Lashley's part of a group and he's getting pushed. This guy's doing nothing.
Well, no, I would have been pissed off if they did all this military stuff for Bobby Lashley and then he comes out here and loses this match. I would have said that was disrespectful.
There's only one guy who would have enjoyed that. Yeah, well, then again, he likes the military, so he wouldn't have done that. It would have been like a squash match.
Yeah. I will hold you to that, and I will check back in December 9th, 2024, to see if Sat has finally turned on Karrion Kross. But this match did indeed end with Bobby Lashley spearing Karrion Kross and advancing in the tournament. So... again, it was a match. We had a backstage segment where Bayley was trying to make amends with Damage Control, but Dakota had to say, Bayley, maybe you shouldn't come out there for the match later. And she was there looking sad. So
it's that episode of Simpsons, by the way. There's two homers, the flashback with the two homers. That's why I thought instantly. Like,
no homers. We're allowed to have one.
Yeah. And then Bailey's doing the whole, you know, sad sack thing really well. I'm feeling sorry for her. She'd lost her arrogantness. It's been a while since she's done a brash promo. She's just like all sad. And Nicole is always like, so awkward. Can you go get us some chair stands?
Dakota knows what's about to happen, but she has to be like, listen, Bayley. They're totally not going to kill you.
I'm gonna kill you. It's gonna be her. She's gonna put the dagger through. I think that's just gonna hit the hardest. It's gonna be her.
But so, of course, this was to set up what happened after the Punk promo, which was the Charlotte and Asuka match. And during Asuka's entrance, all of Damage Control got wiped out by the rest of the SmackDown women's roster. You had people like Zelina Vega out there. Shotzi was out there. They all got sent to the, well, not sent to the back, but they brawled to the back to make sure that this was a one-on-one match. Mm-hmm. Now, this match was very unfortunate because this was, first of all, it was a TV, not even main event match between Charlotte and Asuka, and they can and have had good matches together.
On TV, yeah.
On TV, even. But this was not going to be the main event. This was going to be, you know, kind of an angle match. And then it went wrong before we even got to that part, because during the commercial break, Charlotte got hurt. And I've seen the clip on Twitter. It is gnarly.
It's, what happened? Because people say it was the moonsault, but
it wasn't a moonsault. They looked like they were going up to do a superplex.
Right.
And it just went wrong. They went up and they couldn't quite get their footing. And then both Asuka and Charlotte fell.
No.
And Charlotte like hit the top rope on the way down and her leg like went, didn't bend the wrong way, but it whipped real hard coming off the ropes.
No.
And you see that and it's like, yeah, I'm going to give this match a break. This is just highly unfortunate and it happens sometimes. But Charlotte was hobbling the rest of the match when they came back from commercial. They basically went right to the finish.
Yeah, yeah.
They did a figure eight spot, but Asuka got out of it and Bayley was there, got on the apron, and it almost came to a head with Bayley and Asuka hitting one another, but they stopped. And then Charlotte went, hit Bayley off of the apron, and then Asuka rolled Charlotte up for the 1-2-3. I don't know how badly Charlotte was hurt in all of this. Hopefully she doesn't miss any time, because I still think Bianca versus Charlotte is the move for WrestleMania.
I didn't think of that.
But what a mess. Like, what a shame more than anything.
Because like, it does feel like post-Survivor Series is like Charlotte starting to work as a baby face to, you know, to a degree, even though we still don't know if her and Bianca potentially for the title, people are hoping it's kind of like what Bayley went through this during the summer when we got worried that she re-injured her knee, but it was just like a little, you know, hyperextension and she was fine. So fingers crossed, you know, thoughts and prayers to Charlotte Flair. Hopefully she it's not that bad and she can get back into the ring. Hopefully it's not like a Mercedes Moné situation, because we were hoping she'll come back and look what happened in that situation. But yeah, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they kind of furthered the story here because Bayley was having a big old smile afterwards because Asuka won. So she was like, yeah, I did it. Even though she disobeyed Damage Control's wishes by coming out. I don't know how they will view that. Maybe we'll find out next week.
Bloody heck, she's the leader, for goodness sake. I'm sick of this tiptoeing around. It's kind of like, if you attack me, attack me. Even she knows it. That's the weird thing. She subconsciously knows there's something iffy's going on. But is it a case of like, she's burnt so many bridges? So she feels like she's got nobody but the people she's around. Is that what
maybe,
it is?
Maybe. Yeah? Like, who's going to come to her aid?
Yeah.
You know, if they turn on her. But that's the great thing about it, man. It's not about the attack. It's the waiting for the attack. When you know it's coming and you just got to hope and wait. We'll see. I was thinking that it was going to happen by now. Like, that War Games was going to be the thing, powder keg that we get lit.
Nah. Someone read that Royal Rumbles is a great place for turns to happen.
Yeah.
Because of Sami Zayn. I feel like they watched the Bloodline storyline. They got analytics and data and all that kind of stuff. They're like, oh, what's popping the internet? It's like, so I think, even like, for example, I know we never talk about Raw. I just want to briefly say, R-Truth hanging out with Judgment Day is very much Sami Zayn in the Bloodline. And even to the point where Damian Priest was kind of like, he went to JD McDonough. He was a bit harsh on him. He went to JD, get him out of here. And then JD's like, get out, R-Truth. You're a bit too harsh on him. I'm like, the key to the babyface turn is R-Truth. I just wanted to say that because I'm not on a Raw podcast. But I just want to say that, yeah, the Bloodline seeps through everything. So everything, you know, long title reign, storylines, the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why.
So then we had the CM Punk backstage segments. So we had CM Punk trying to find Nick Aldis's office. Called it a locker room. I don't know why a GM would need a locker room, but regardless. He goes to find Nick Aldis, and he asks Kevin Owens backstage if he knows where Nick Aldis is. And he just goes, no. And CM Punk just goes, all right, thanks for your help.
But even before that, though, he approached a certain door.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Heyman's door, well, the Bloodline door, as he was looking, there's two things that happened. There's two ways of people looking at it. There's Bloodline locker room door. CM Punk goes to approach to knock on the door. but he thinks of the better of it and it just keeps him moving. A lot of people are alluding to that's Punk's way of showing like, hey, he was thinking of barging into a locker room, but he thought the better of it. Another AEW reference.
Curious.
Yes.
Or, might be a reach. But...
yeah, yeah. Or it could be a case of like, I'm not ready to start beef with the bloodline, so I'm just going to keep it moving. Yeah. And Paul, I'll see you some other time. Because it was an acrimonious split at the end of the day.
And yeah, those were those two interactions in that segment. Mm. And then we had CM Punk being given a contract by Nick Aldis. He found the locker room, turned out, and he gets the contract and just says, thank you, sir. And then Cody Rhodes walks in, and Cody Rhodes just says, so, you know, main event WrestleMania means you're going to win the Royal Rumble. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then shook his hand and welcomed him back. So I don't know if I would say that that one was tense, but it was two baby faces both being like, we know that we want the same thing and we can't both have it. So it's kind of like a mutual agreement. We'll see each other down the road in the final two type thing, I would imagine.
We're both going to destroy two members of the Shield.
And then the final one that we had after another Tribute to the Troops video package was Randy Orton getting approached by LA Knight. Yeah.
Yeah.
And before the either of them could say anything, CM Punk walked up and just went, yep, that's what he said.
Yeah, he did. He was like, yep.
He said, good luck tonight, guys. And then he walked off. And both of them were just kind of like, huh. And Randy Orton just says to LA Knight, it's like, you ready for tonight? And he just says, yeah, and walks off.
Actually, he went, yeah.
Well, yeah, it wasn't like, yeah.
It was. It's kind of like, come on, man. Like, I know you've been gone for a year, but give me a break kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're right. It's kind of like LA Knight's like, who are you to come to my show that I've been carrying on my back and ask me, are you ready? Are you ready? You came up from the injury reserve list, sir.
Yeah. So this then led to our main event. And it was Randy Orton and LA Knight versus Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa.
Wearing boots. Solo's wearing boots.
He either stubbed his toe or got given some interesting advice.
Mm.
I had a couple of thoughts from this match.
Yes, sir.
One of which was that this felt like a house show match.
Mm.
A lot of the matches on here felt like house show matches anyway. But it was just like, yeah, it's a TV main event. It was
going for the motion.
Perfectly average. Mm. The big things, the takeaways of this match were that the partners were kind of getting tense with one another. LA Knight and Randy Orton would like tag themselves in and be like, you know, give each other like, I got this. You don't need to do that, etc. And at one point, Jimmy Uso was also upset with Solo Sikoa. So it's like, ooh, more bloodline tension. However, the ending of the match then came with Randy Orton hitting an RKO on Jimmy Uso after LA Knight had gone for the BFT. Jimmy pushes LA Knight off, turns around, gets hit with an RKO. So LA Knight watches. Randy Orton sort of steals the pin, the finisher, whatever you want to call it. And that's how the match ends. That's how the show goes off the air.
Well, they shake hands. It's an acknowledgement of respect. I think this match was like, was it respect forged in combat sort of situation?
Maybe something like that. We'll see how important this relationship is in the next little while. Because again, like we said, this could be something that gets built to WrestleMania, whether they're a team or allies or just, again, mutual respect with common enemies or something like that.
Last week, I did say, I made a joke when LA Knight came out to save Randy Orton that they're part of Matt Riddle's play by LA Knight, because there's a lot of things that never got wrapped up of Randy being in a tag team.
Sure.
And I do feel like whatever beats they wanted to tell, Riddle's not there for it anymore. The whole Randy Orton getting revenge in his bloodline, so he needs a new ally, so that's where LA Knight steps in. Mm-hmm. As much as, for certain people, it may say it's a downgrade, I think it's an upgrade, because the guy was losing to Xavier Woods early in the year, so whatever, he's rubbing shoulders in the main event, so for me, I'll see it as a positive. And even like, for example, Randy Orton doesn't raise guys' hands a lot and not RKO them. If he RKO'd him, then he would have cucked him.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of the thing, right? Like, especially with the returns of Randy Orton and CM Punk, it doesn't leave very many top babyface spots for a guy like LA Knight. And yeah, you could see it being a downgrade for him to go from a Roman Reigns main event pay-per-view match to being in a tag team. But this is still a way of being involved in the main events on TV, being associated with a top guy in Randy Orton.
Bingo.
So it's less of a downgrade to me as like, we're going to put you here to keep your plate spinning a little while until the main event scene gets cleared up just a little bit. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't know if I have a problem with this thing, and I will save my judgment on it for next week's SmackDown. But I remember last year, around this time, if you were in the Bloodline and just lost, you had to answer to Roman Reigns. And now people in the Bloodline just be losing matches.
You say that, but I feel like it's a nice segue because who's coming back next week?
That's what I'm going to say. Oh, like, yes. If Roman Reigns wasn't on the show next week to maybe address the fact that these guys lost this match, I would have more of an issue with it. So I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm leaving it for next week because the Bloodline story just always makes more sense when Roman's on TV. But
doesn't it?
It just feels like these matches lack a certain level of stakes that they had last year when everybody, the music would play and everyone would just kind of go like, oh God, he's here. You know, the mob boss has arrived type thing. I don't know if we have that aura about Bloodline now.
To be honest, it's kind of like, I hate to say this, but I just don't care. Like, when Roman's here is great, but it's kind of like, because he hasn't defended that much, I exclude his titles meaning anything. It's just the belt at the moment doesn't mean anything because he doesn't really defend it.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. And that is where we are at with all of this.
Like, an accessory.
It is an accessory. It's unfortunate, but that's what it is. And that's what SmackDown was. So let us know what you thought of SmackDown in the comments down below. Let us know what you thought of the CM Punk promo. It's the most important thing. Who's going to be the NXT superstar to be in the other side of the bracket in the U.S. title tournament? I think it's going to be Tyler Bate.
Me too.
Could be very, very nice to have him on SmackDown.
Get a big, strong boy off developmental. He's been there since the young age of 19, for goodness sake. He aged before us.
Yeah,
his hair's receded before us.
Let us know all of those things. In the meantime, we have some very special shout-outs to give before we wrap things up today, those being our $25 and above pledge hammers over on patreon.com/WrestleTalk, where you can get your own custom wrestling nickname read out on a show just like this. So a big shout-out to Jordy Bus Driver, Harry.
Yeah. The Gaelic Storm, Heather Murphy.
Yeah. The Aztec Warrior, Hector Rodriguez.
Yeah. Pitch Perfect, Isaac Octave.
Yeah. Murderous James Murtaugh.
Yeah. Wrestle Talk's personal problem solver, Jamie Donovan.
Yeah. Spoken class today, Jeremy Smith.
Yeah. John Jenkinson, son of Jenker.
Yeah. The singing luchador, Joseph Santana.
Yeah. The heir to the throne, Kate Ayers.
Yeah. Too lot to handle, Lottie McCullough.
Yeah. Manipulating Manny Maria.
Yeah. Thank you very much to all of our pledge hammers, but especially the $25 and above pledge hammers who get their own custom wrestling nickname read out on a show just like this. If you'd like one, sign up at the $25 and above tier over on patreon.com/WrestleTalk, where you will also see a new and exclusive episode of Survival Series, where we name every single WWE and AEW pay-per-view main event in reverse chronological order of the year of our Lord 2023.
Goodness sake.
Thank you very much, Sat, for joining me on this here episode of the SmackDown Review Podcast. Make sure you check out the new book over on WrestleShop.com, WWE, AEW, Fallout. All of the stories from the war that has been AEW and WWE. Make sure you get it in time for Christmas. A perfect gift for a wrestling fan near you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Sat. We will be back next week. It won't be me. It'll be Luke Owen, who apparently you've never done a podcast with.
Never!
So you're getting a new combination here on the SmackDown podcast. It's gonna, you're gonna tick off a bingo card or something
like
that.
At the end of the year. But of course, it's been a great year for House of the Black Mask. Thank you for this incredible man for all the time he give me when I ramble on the microphone. Cause you know, you're the best. He's the greatest of all time to team with. So I appreciate him. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your time away with your family. I'm going to miss you. When you come back, we're going to pick up where you left off, which is Dominate WrestleTalk, Parts for Unknown. Get some championship gold and some glory back into the house. You did it with Survivor Series. You annihilated the competition, but we're going to win some more. We're going to get some more glory, some more gold. And yeah, happy Saturday, you filthy animals.
Happy Saturday Day, happy 2023, happy holidays, and a happy new year. I will see you all in 2024.
You see me next week.
The house see next week.
Always wins.
Jam that jam.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.